Please turn to John chapter 8. Once again, we want to introduce our lesson by reading verses 31 and 32. I hope you'll soon have these verses memorized because they're very important. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Our Lord on this occasion said that something very special can be known. And he was talking about the truth. Jesus also revealed the key to knowing the truth. He said that we must continue or abide in his word. I want you to notice this is conditional. Jesus said, if. It requires a conscious effort on our part to continue in the Lord's word. But if we will do that, we'll know the truth. And then Jesus showed that a special blessing is associated with knowing the truth. He said that it makes us free. Well, recently we've been searching the Lord's word so that we can know the truth about his return. We've been searching the Lord's word so that we can know the truth about the judgment. We've been searching the Lord's word so we can know the truth about the resurrection. And we've been searching the Lord's word so that we can know the truth about heaven. You think about those subjects I just mentioned. If it weren't for the word of God, would we know anything about them at all? Well, Jesus said by continuing in his word, we can know the truth. Now, he wasn't applying that only to these subjects. He applied it to knowing the truth in general. But the only way that we can know anything about the Lord's return, the judgment, the resurrection, and heaven is by continuing in the Lord's word. But if we will do that, we'll know the truth. For a little while this evening, we want to search the Lord's word so that we can know the truth about a place called Hades. The first point that we need to make is that the Lord's word illustrates why we need to know the truth about Hades. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 3 and read verse 6. The children of Israel had been in Egypt for some time, and now they were being treated as slaves. They cried out for deliverance. God had been preparing Moses to lead the children of Israel from Egypt up to the promised land. This is the occasion when God appeared to Moses, and he spoke to Moses from the burning bush. Moreover, he said, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. I want you to notice this occasion. When God spoke to Moses from the burning bush, he identified himself as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, we need to keep in mind that these three great men had passed away years earlier. Let's look at Genesis chapter 25. In Genesis 25, we read about the death of Abraham. Verses 7 and 8. "And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 115 years. And Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people." Abraham lived a long life, but it finally came to an end. Well, he had a son named Isaac. Isaac lived a long time. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 35 and read verses 28 and 29. Genesis 35, verses 28 and 29. And the days of Isaac were 180 years. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Isaac lived a long time, but his life finally came to an end. Now let's read about Jacob. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 33. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 33. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. The Bible records the deaths of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But many, many years later, when God appeared to Moses from the burning bush, he identified himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now we're illustrating why we need to know the truth about Hades. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew tells us about the occasion when the Sadducees came to our Lord, tempting him, and they asked him a question about the resurrection. It involved a hypothetical situation that we studied not too long ago. Let's notice part of the Lord's response. Verses 31 and 32. Now this is Jesus responding to the Sadducees who did not believe in the resurrection. He said, "But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." I want you to notice that in Matthew's account, our Lord said that what was written in Exodus 3 and verse 6 was addressed to the Sadducees. You see, God's word is alive. It's active. And the Sadducees should have studied that statement that God made in the long ago. They should have considered some things. Unfortunately, they did not. Now, they claimed to believe in the books of Moses, the first five books of the Old Testament. But Jesus actually quoted Exodus 3 and verse 6, where God said, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." He didn't say, "I was." He said, "I am." Now, we've looked at the book of Genesis and read about the deaths of those three great men. Years later, God appeared to Moses at the burning bush and identified himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, Jesus referred to that passage to show that God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. In other words, although Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died physically, they were still alive somewhere and somehow. Now, the Sadducees did not believe that, but Jesus was teaching them a valuable lesson. I don't know if they learned it or not, but perhaps there were some others who could be reached, and perhaps the Lord was able to teach them. Well, fortunately, we have the Lord's word, and if we will continue in it, we can know the truth about what happened to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I believe the passages we just referred to and the different events we just referred to illustrate why we need to know the truth about Hades. In the Bible, we read about some religious Jewish people who obviously did not believe in the afterlife. We know that they rejected the resurrection. Well, they did not believe in life after death. They thought that all life ended at the grave. They had no concept of God's will concerning the place called Hades. Well, if we don't know the truth about Hades, that can lead to other errors, such as the Sadducees were guilty of. They rejected the resurrection. They did not believe in angels. They did not believe in the Spirit, according to Acts 23 and verse 8. Well, as I mentioned, thankfully, we can continue in the Lord's Word, and we can know the truth about this place called Hades. We need to keep in mind also that the Lord's Word reveals some important matters that have to do with death. Death is not a pleasant subject by any means. I don't like to talk about it, but the Bible certainly has a lot to say about it. And we need to be grateful that the Lord's Word reveals so much information that will help us. For one thing, we learn from Hebrews 9 and verse 27 that death is an appointment that all will keep. It is appointed unto men once to die. That's very plain, isn't it? Why is it that we suffer death? Well, if we can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve sinned, and the Bible teaches in the book of Romans that because of that sin, death passed upon all men. Remember the penalty for the transgression of God's will. He told Adam that he could eat of any fruit of the trees that were found in the Garden of Eden, except for one. He was not allowed to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he was told that in the day he ate that fruit, he would die. Well, Eve was aware of that commandment too, because as she talked with Satan, the serpent, she knew what God's will was on that subject. As far as I can tell from the scriptures, God made man to live forever. However, to live forever, he had to keep God's law. Man transgressed the law of God. And the Apostle Paul shows us in the book of Romans that death has passed upon all men. Why? Because of the transgression of Adam. Now, some have taken the idea that we inherit sin from Adam. Nothing could be further from the truth. Each person is responsible for his own transgressions. But there is something we inherit from Adam, and that is death. The Bible says that death is an appointment that everyone will keep. Now, we know that there have been some exceptions, and there will be some others. For example, we read in the Bible about Enoch. Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He's mentioned in Genesis 5 and also Hebrews chapter 11. He pleased God. What more could be said about a man than that? Consequently, God took him. He did not have to go through the dying process when he left this earth. Also, we read about the prophet Elijah. He was the great prophet who was taken up into heaven by a whirlwind. What a wonderful sight that must have been. Elisha was there to take it all in. He saw it. He had asked Elijah for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Elijah said, "You've asked a hard thing." But he said, "If you'll see me when I leave," and I'm paraphrasing, of course, he said, "you'll be blessed." Elisha stayed right there with Elijah, didn't take his eyes off of him. He saw that great sight. Consequently, he received the tremendous measure, the spirit that was also upon Elijah. Enoch and Elijah left this earth without going through the dying process. Now, the Bible also mentions in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 15, that there will be some people alive when Jesus returns. There will be some people living on the earth when our Lord returns. So, when we read from the Bible that it's appointed unto men once to die, We understand that the exceptions include Enoch, Elijah, and those who were living on the earth when our Lord returns. Now, those are some matters that relate to death we need to be aware of. Also, James 2 and verse 26 is dealing with the relationship that exists between faith and works. And James shows us what death is or when it occurs. James 2 and verse 26, the Lord's brother wrote, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." When does death occur? Death occurs when the spirit departs from the body. Now, these are some important matters that relate to death that we're able to know as a result of continuing in the Lord's Word. But let's look at this matter just a little bit further. We need to be grateful that the Lord's Word reveals what happens to the soul after death. We understand that everyone will face death. Not a pleasant subject, but that's the way that it is. We need to understand that death occurs when the spirit departs from the body. What happens after that? Now, the Sadducees said that's it. That's not what the Bible says. How grateful we need to be that the Lord's Word explains to us what takes place. These are some things that we accept through faith. I was just reading in my daily Bible reading where we walk by faith and not by sight. That's in the book of 2 Corinthians. Have you ever been anywhere after death? No, and I haven't either. But I know what happens. How do I know that? Because of some experience? No. It's because of what's written in the Word of God. We accept that through faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Remember, God identified himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob after those men had been gone for years. Jesus related to that particular statement to show that God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Now, he implied something when he said that. He implied that those three great men were still alive somewhere and somehow. We look at some general matters that pertain to death. Now, let's look at what happens to the soul after death. Let's look at what Jesus had to say about two men in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. We want to begin at verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. A man I knew in Tennessee used to say he lived scrumptiously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in, actually it should be Hades. He lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." Then he said, "I pray thee, Therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. On this occasion, Jesus spoke about two men who faced death. You see, they had that in common. Now, during their lifetimes, they were about as opposite as they could possibly be. One man was very wealthy, he had plenty. And then there was the beggar, Lazarus. But although they lived different lives here on the earth, they did have something in common. They both faced death. Now, what happened to Lazarus? In verse 22, Jesus said, When Lazarus died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and in that location he was comforted. Isn't it interesting that Jesus spoke about Abraham as being in existence? Well, the rich man also passed away. In verse 23 says he went to a place identified as Hades. Now, you have to use some caution because the King James Version uses the word hell to refer to both places. You need to look very carefully to make the distinction. Here, Jesus is not talking about the place of eternal punishment called hell. Rather, he was talking about Hades. However, notice that this rich man was in an area known as torments. In verse 24, we find that he was tormented by a flame. He was not having a pleasant experience. What about Lazarus? He was comforted. What about the rich man? He's now being tormented. Now, while Lazarus and the rich man were in two different places, Jesus said that there's a great gulf fixed between those places. It's not possible to go from one to the other. Those two men were still alive after they died, weren't they? Their lives came to an end. Their spirits departed from their bodies. What happened to their spirits? The spirit of Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom where he was comforted. The spirit of the rich man went to a place of torments. You know, that reveals some helpful information to us. But there are some other matters that we need to consider. Let's examine what happened to Christ. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 46, Luke, the inspired writer, tells us that Jesus died on the cross. He said, And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. Now, Luke is not the only gospel writer to show that Jesus died physically. Mark tells us in chapter 15 and verse 37 of his gospel that Jesus died. Matthew tells us in chapter 27 and verse 50 that Jesus died. John tells us in his gospel, chapter 19 and verse 30, that Jesus physically died. Isn't it interesting that expression, gave up the ghost, is used so many times? What's that referring to? That's referring to the spirit departing from the body. When that occurs, death has taken place. Our Lord's spirit departed from his body after he had been on the cross for about 6 hours. Now, before Jesus died, he said something to one of the thieves that's very important. Look at verse 43. Now, it appears from Matthew's account that both thieves that were crucified with the Lord railed on him. Apparently, one of them had a change of heart. And he asked the Lord to remember him in his kingdom. Apparently, he repented and was seeking the Lord's forgiveness. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus knew where he was going. He knew that he was about to die. He also knew that he was going to be raised on the third day, because he revealed that on several different occasions. He knew that his spirit was going to depart from his body, and it did. Where did the Lord go when death occurred? He was in paradise. We've already read about that place. It's described also as Abraham's bosom. It's a place of comfort. By the way, when just before Jesus died, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He knew that his spirit was going to depart from his body, and it did. But where did the Lord go? The Lord said he was going to paradise that very day. Now, that's important. Now let's turn to some things that the Apostle Peter had to say on the day of Pentecost. They're found in Acts chapter 2. We want to read a portion of Peter's sermon. We read this not too long ago, but we need to be reminded of what he had to say. Because Peter, in his comments, quoted from Psalm 16. That psalm was written by David about 1,000 years earlier. David was writing about God's Holy One. And he prophesied that the soul of God's Holy One would not be left in Hades. Peter quoted from that. And he's presenting proof that Jesus was raised from the dead. Acts 2, let's start at verse 22. It thrills my soul to read these beautiful words. I just try to imagine the scene. Peter and his fellow apostles are in Jerusalem. It's just been about 50 days since our Lord was crucified. There's a great crowd of Jewish people assembled. Peter was told by Jesus that he would be given the keys of the kingdom. And Peter rose to the occasion. I can just see him preaching his heart out. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in Hades, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Now, Peter showed in his sermon, quoting from Psalm 16, that the Lord's soul was not left in Hades. That implies something. That implies that the Lord's soul went to Hades, but it did not remain there. On the third day after the Lord died, his soul was reunited with his body, and he was resurrected from the grave. Now, that's some important information. We can learn a lot about what happens after death occurs by reading from Luke chapter 16 and Acts chapter 2, which also deals with Psalm 16. To summarize what we've been talking about, after death occurs, the soul or the spirit goes to a place known as Hades. Now, Hades is the temporary, and notice I said temporary, dwelling place of departed spirits. In Hades, there's a place of comfort, referred to as paradise or Abraham's bosom. And in this place of comfort, that's where the souls of the righteous wait for the resurrection to take place. Then there's a place of torments. And in that location, the souls of the unrighteous wait for the resurrection to occur. So when God identified himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we know that those three great men had passed away years before. But God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Where were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when their spirits departed from their bodies and death occurred? They went to this place called Hades. Now, those three great men were in that section known as Abraham's bosom, or that place of comfort. Jesus referred to it as paradise. Now, I mentioned the fact just a moment ago that Hades is the temporary dwelling place of departed spirits. Let's look at Revelation 20 and read verse 13. At the resurrection, Hades will deliver up the dead there. Revelation 20 and verse 13 says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works." When the Lord returns, Hades will deliver up the dead there. The spirits will be reunited with their bodies, and then the judgment will take place. And at the judgment, I want you to notice what's going to happen to this place called Hades. See, it's going to come to an end one day. Revelation 20 and verse 14 says, "And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." When does that occur? After the Lord returns and Hades gives up the dead that are there. Well, it served its purpose. There's no longer any temporary dwelling place needed. It's cast into the lake of fire. Well, these are some matters revealed in the Bible that have to do with Hades. I've never seen that place, and you haven't either. We accept what the Bible says through faith. We can know what happens after death. That gives us hope. I feel sorry for people like the Sadducees who only have this life to live. If this is all there is, we are of all men most miserable. But today we tried to describe how beautiful heaven is. Heaven will be the permanent dwelling place of God's faithful people. Well, that gives us hope. It helps us to remain faithful unto the Lord because we have something better to look forward to.